choices. Health Grades, how America finds a doctor. Learn more at healthgrades.com.
This is Morning Edition on WCVE Public Radio, Richmond Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne. Waiting up for you?
Oh, yes. The challenge to Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage came before the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals this week.
Yes, of course, the voter-approved ban dating to 2006 was thrown out on Valentine's Day Eve by a United States District Court judge in Norfolk. This is the appeal of that decision. Three judges are hearing it. Judges appointed by Presidents Clinton, Bush 1, Bush 2. The courthouse, very much kind of a scene of protest inside and out. The perhaps most interesting twist in all this is that the Attorney General of Virginia is not defending this prohibition. Mark Herring, who is a state senator, voted for it, now against it, says Virginia can't permit state-sanctioned prejudice again, as it did well into the 1960s with racial segregation. This is a tile in a larger mosaic about the full and free use of power. Mark Herring is now faced with the very, very, very distant threat of impeachment. Bob Marshall, that very rigid conservative delegate from Prince William County, now wants the House to look into the possibility of impeaching Herring. That's not going to happen. It might get out of the House. It's clearly not going to go anywhere in the Senate. But this is something that Bob Marshall is getting quite tingly about, as well as his conservative base. Marshall argues that Herring is using his authority incorrectly in an unconstitutional manner by refusing to defend the same-sex marriage. And as far as Bob Marshall is concerned, this is just another data point. They include his opinion allowing the children of illegal immigrants to enroll in public colleges and universities and avail themselves of that in-state discount. And, of course, there's a third talking point with Bob Marshall, and that is that gay couples should be allowed to file jointly on their income taxes. So a lot to stir up the base and perhaps compel some members of it to write some big checks to guys like Bob Marshall and others.
Mm. But Speaker Howell, the leader of the Republicans in the House of Delegates, says he doesn't think impeachment would be a good thing.
That is correct. But Bill Howell is also sort of steamed over something that Terry McAuliffe did this week. The governor trying to affirm his abortion rights credentials, naming new members to the Board of Health, but more importantly, ordering a review of these hospital-like building rules that the abortion clinics, the 18 remaining abortion clinics in Virginia, say will put them out of business. Now, the legislature mandated these regulations in 2011. The Board of Health tried in 2012 to exempt some of them, but a very fierce abortion opponent by the name of Ken Cuccinelli, who was Attorney General at the time, said no way, and essentially bullied the Board of Health into approving these regs. Now, the governor's review is clearly designed to slow, if not outright derail, the implementation of these rules, which are scheduled to take effect in June. But this review, as McAuliffe calls it, could take 2 years or more. And yes, the Republicans are verklempt over this display of executive power. And we may see another, of course, if the governor decides he can implement a health care fix unilaterally.
Let me ask you about the Cantor-Brett primary contest for the Republican nomination for the 7th congressional district seat held by Cantor. Of course, the TV ad wars has heated up, and the campaign has sort of spilled over into a contest for the 7th District GOP chairmanship.
Yes, these are proxy battles. This revolt against Mr. Cantor, the 7th District Republican congressman, of course, the House Majority Leader. The Tea Partiers and Libertarians swarmed into this convention and removed the current Republican chairman, district chairman, who is an ally of Eric Cantor's, and replaced him with an identifiable Tea Party guy. Now, this is the second organizational setback for Cantor ahead of this primary on June 10th, which he is expected to win. The first, of course, was at the county level in Henrico, Cantor's home, and this coalition of Tea Party and Libertarian types blocked the Cantor people from sending a Cantor-controlled delegation to the state Republican convention in Roanoke, which will nominate a Senate candidate. Now, all of this is a reminder that Cantor, of course, the likely renominee, if you will, is not particularly well-liked by a vocal and growing element of the Republican Party. And this would seem to have implications for his ambitions for speakership. I mean, if he can't control his home district, how can he control this very restive Republican caucus? But clearly the congressman is planning for, hoping to pull off a big win in the primary, and he hopes that that will eliminate any doubts.
The ever-shifting plan to develop Chaco Bottom, centered around a minor league ballpark. More developments this week, alternate proposals, as well as revelations that the original so-called footprint of Mayor Dwight Jones's plan will have to be revised. It's just almost more than one can comprehend.
Yes, not without a cup of coffee at this hour of the day. A minor league ballpark, but some major league problems for Mayor Jones to accommodate this ballpark in Chaco Bottom, which many, many people oppose. The state is going to have to buy up more privately held property. And now this includes the headquarters of the state Democratic Party, of which Jones is the chairman. Now, there are claims that Jones is keeping his distance because of a perceived conflict of interest, and that possibility, at least of an ethical tangle, is clearly another spanner in the works for this perceived monument that Jones has in mind in the close of his mayoralty. I don't think it's at all possible for the mayor to look like the buyer and the seller in this. By the way, Terry McAuliffe, who selected Jones four-party chairman, gave the Democrats about $50,000 back in 2008, I seem to recall, that helped the Democrats buy this building. And, of course, that contribution was taken as a sign that McAuliffe had his eye on another piece of property, the Executive Mansion.
A continuing saga, to be sure. And finally, State Senator Cree Deeds says he may sue. He's filed intent to sue the Community Services Board out in the Rockbridge County area over the failure to treat his son last fall, just prior to that tragic incident in which the son committed suicide.
Yeah, it's just basically a place-saving maneuver in the courts by the senator. Doing this after ushering through a number of reforms to the mental health system in the just passed session of the legislature. I think it's safe to say that this lawsuit this possible lawsuit is not unexpected. It is a logical next step in a highly illogical tragedy.
Thanks to Jeff Shapiro, who analyzes Virginia political news for us every Friday morning at this time. Portions of WCVE's programming are made possible by Genter Park Residents Association, celebrating the gardens and homes of its historic community in Northside with home tours and live music on May 17th.
Okay, soccer's World Cup is coming 1 month.